Okay, I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the CG Report, entitled Permission to Enter. That and a lot of other things on today's report. Okay, let's see here. It's 23 May. We've got a guest visiting us today. His name is Derek Downs. He's from Baltimore, Maryland. And when he walked in, I thought I was looking in the mirror for a second. He's a really good-looking guy. Couldn't believe it. And I will tell... Yeah, he's got a lot more hair than me. If I take off my bandana, you're all blinded. But he's got a full head of hair. And surprisingly, we are the same age. I'm a couple months older than him, but we were born the same year, and we look just as handsome as each other. We got all kinds of parallels. I was born in Florida, though, so I have that over you. But other than that, I think he's got all of the over. He's got how many? Six grandchildren?
Six
grandchildren. We're still waiting on number one, so he's got a lot of stuff ahead of me. But okay, we have on the hallway, when you walk back to go to the kitchen, there is a new display there. It is Israel here, and it's Greece up here, and it is wood. It's been done in Hebrew and in Greek. It identifies the seven cities of the Book of Revelation, the seven countries, locations, and it also has cities within Jerusalem, and if you notice, it makes a seven the way it was designed, and he brought that down to us for the church. He made that himself. So we're very appreciative of that, and we're very appreciative of your presence with us today. So welcome to you. Before we get into our first bit of news, the ADF is having a Generational Winds virtual prayer gathering on Thursday, May 27th, in case anybody wants to join that. It should be very interesting. It's a Facebook Live event, but anyone not wanting to attend Facebook, which I understand that completely because I would not do that, you can still attend without Facebook. What you would do is select not now when asked to create an account, okay? If you want those links to be able to do that, email me and I can send you the links. So that's the ADF Generational Winds Virtual Prayer Gathering on Thursday, May 27th. And our first bit of news, starting out with news from Israel today. From the Times of Israel, Israel's escalation with Gaza puts new Gulf partners in diplomatic bind. Now, I'm including this in here in a couple of other articles. Obviously, we are, hopefully, the war is behind us. We'll see how the week ahead goes. But, you know, I'm including this even though that is behind us because, one, I don't agree with the premise of this article at all, and two, I don't think those Arab nations do either. Here's what they say. The deadly escalation between Israel and the Palestinians has embarrassed Gulf states, which forged ties with the Jewish state and put a strain on their Abraham Accords that were billed as a game changer. I do not believe that. I don't believe that there's any problem with these people. They have almost unanimously stopped supporting the Palestinians over the past few years. The Palestinians have been belligerent to them, and this has been expressed openly. So I think that this is not true, but it is for general consumption of people on the outside, not the people that are working together on the inside. They go on, the bloodshed has prompted condemnation from Israel's new Arab partners, which they have to do openly. Less than a year after signaling normalization agreements with Israel, the UAE, Bahrain, Sudan, and Morocco have been forced to change course and turn to critical rhetoric. Quote, these statements are largely intended as a public relations exercise towards a domestic and regional Arab audience that continues to overwhelmingly support the Palestinians. The Abraham Accords swept away decades of consensus and were condemned as treason by Palestinian leaders who feared they undercut their demands for a homeland. That one sentence that I read in quotes tells you that this is all for public consumption and that articles like this, if you see them, you can ignore them. These people have made deals with Israel and they're not going to back down on them and they are not happy with the Palestinians in any way, shape, or form. That's just for your information on that. Next from Newsweek, the Czech Republic, during this fighting, flies Israel flag over Prague Castle in support of nation amid Palestinian clashes. The Israeli flag is flying over the Czech Republic's Prague Castle upon President Milos Zeman's orders to show support for Israel amid escalating clashes with Palestinians in Gaza. It has been Zaman's latest display of solidarity with Israel, as around 300 Muslims in Turkey, in contrast, showed support for Palestinians that have been killed in the ongoing violence, calling for Hamas militants to continue resistance as they fight with Israel. The Czech spokesman said the flying of Israel's flag over the seat of the Czech presidency symbolizes a sign of unequivocal support and solidarity between their two nations. I wanted to include that, even though this war is seemingly over, to let you know that there are nations that were willing to make a stand for Israel. Our president did a pretty poor job of it overall.
That's kind of a shock.
But he didn't come out and condemn Israel, but he also didn't really come out and support them in any strong way at all. From the Wall Street Journal, Israel's turmoil hands political lifeline to embattled Prime Minister Netanyahu. Okay, this is something that just came out of the fighting. It's probably still ongoing, is that because once you go to war, a leader always has an advantage in the polls and with the public. Depending on how long he can keep that support, he may remain the prime minister after all. We'll see. Prime Minister Netanyahu is pressing an aggressive campaign against Hamas. Once again, this is a couple days ago before the ending of the fighting, targeting its leaders, strategic infrastructure, and military sites to deter the militant group from continuing its attacks on Israel. The operation could aid Mr. Netanyahu's other vital goal of staying in power. 1 week earlier, Mr. Netanyahu's opponents were poised to unseat him and form a new government, potentially ending the rule of the country's longest-serving leader as he faces corruption charges. He denies wrongdoing, but the past 6 days of national turmoil have offered the Israeli prime minister a political lifeline. When Arab parties and a right-wing politician pulled out of talks this week to join or back a rival coalition, the threat to unseat Netanyahu appeared to collapse. And this is still ongoing right now. That's why I'm reading this. Netanyahu has always thrived in environments of uncertainty, of chaos, and crisis. He basically goes from crisis to crisis, and that has been evident throughout his entire prime ministership. And it's fine. He's been able to hold power. I personally think he should have probably retired a year or two ago, but he's ongoing, and that's fine. Even before the recent conflict and internal tensions, Mr. Netanyahu has had to navigate the country through a difficult year. Israel had one of the worst coronavirus rates per capita before a successful vaccination campaign. Its economy was battered by pandemic-related shutdowns, and it has faced off against Iran, hitting its allies in Syria and its ships at sea. But he does thrive in environments like that. He does a good job when things are like that, and we'll see where it goes now that the fighting has ceased, if Netanyahu can keep the momentum. From the Times of Israel, U.S. House speeches on Gaza expose growing rift in Democrat Party on Israel. Nearly two dozen Democrats, and you're probably aware of this. I'm showing you this in case you're not aware of it, what is happening in our Congress. And this goes along with something that I'm going to preach in the sermon today. I'm going to get away from Deuteronomy for 1 week, and I'm going to do a special sermon, which would, if you're watching this prophecy update, you should probably watch the sermon as well, because it's going to deal with issues related to prophecy in the state of our nation. And I think that you will be blessed if you stay tuned and listen to that particular sermon. But we'll just go on for now. Nearly two dozen Democrats took to the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives to give impassioned speeches reacting to the ongoing violence in Gaza and Israel. The hour-long salvo of brief addresses exposed the growing rift in the Democrat Party, which I think is a good thing, between increasingly popular progressive lawmakers and more moderate representatives with closer ties to the Biden admin, with the former bloc taking a much more critical approach to Israel than the latter, which gave impassioned speeches offering unwavering support for the Jewish state. This may come back to bite them in the elections, and I hope it does. I hope that the nation as a whole remembers what they are doing in the Democrat Party and they move away from that platform. Twitter video, this is one of those things that you are not going to hear on any mainstream news service. You might hear it if you go to Twitter or, you know, read articles, but it was interesting enough. If you want to listen to it, it's in Hebrew, so it's not going to do you much good unless you speak Hebrew. But Israeli pilot calls off airstrike in Gaza when children are detected at the scene. They actually identified children at the scene of this bombing from an airplane. This guy could tell this. And he knows that they're being used as human shields, which is a war crime, which should be punished as a war crime, which will not be punished as a war crime. But he called off his own judgment call. I am not going to drop these bombs. Good job, Israel. From the Epic Times, Israel says over 9 miles of Gaza terror tunnel were destroyed in the airstrikes. 9 miles. Good job. I did the numbers last week, and whatever it is, it comes out to thousands, hundreds of thousands, and millions of dollars. And they wasted all of that effort over in Gaza instead of feeding their people, building hospitals, and doing the right things. Good job, Israel, again. Jerusalem Post, I'll give you the reason why I'm reading this, because I'm sure you've heard it, but I'll read it first. Hamas celebrates truce victory, warns of future resistance against Israel. Celebratory demonstrations took place in the Gaza Strip and West Bank as well. Following the ceasefire, fireworks, singing, and parades down the streets could be seen in uploaded footage shared on social media, accompanied with the hashtag Palestine Victorious. Okay, Iran came out and said that they won the war. Others have come out and said they won the war as well. And so my thought on that is they were the aggressors. They were clearly the aggressors. And then they are the victors. And so they owe Israel reparations for the war. That's what I think, because they've acknowledged that they have won this war. Okay, how you can get pounded back into the Stone Age and claim victory, I don't know, but they've done it. And so they need to go into Israel and they need to fix everything that they broke in the process of this war. Okay, and if you're talking to a lefty friend, you can use that argument over the next few weeks. If they're talking about how Israel was so bad in this, remind them that the Palestinians were the aggressors and that the Palestinians have claimed victory. And you need to just drop it after that, because you're not going to win any other way. All right, some news concerning the state of Christianity today. I've mentioned him before, BibleIn10, BibleIn10, BibleIn10.com. He puts up a podcast. He does it once a week or once a month now. He did 50 just to get started, and now he's posting them at lesser intervals just because he's got a base of podcasts up. But this past one was on the rapture, and it was exceptional. So if you want to hear that, it's 10 minutes of your listening time, BibleIn10.com. Listen to the most recent podcast, and you will enjoy it. All right, from the Baptist Press, 55%. Now, I'm not sure if I can actually believe this, but this is what they came up with in a survey. 55% of Americans believe in biblical inerrancy. More than half of Americans believe the Bible is without error. The American Bible Society said in its 2021 State of the Bible report, biblical inerrancy is professed by 55%, with even a greater portion of those surveyed, 71%, that's almost three quarters, confessing that Scripture is the Word of God. Most descriptions of what the Bible actually is still fall within the realm of Christian orthodoxy. Comprising those who believe the Bible is God's word are 26% of respondents who said the Bible should be taken literally, word for word. 29% who said some verses are meant to be symbolic rather than literal. Obvious that, you know, I don't know how somebody could say that some of the apocalyptic language in the book of Revelation is supposed to be taken literally. It cannot be. Or when you say that the mountains clap their hands. As far as I know, I haven't seen any mountains with hands lately, okay? But they say 29% there, and 15% who said the Bible has some factual or historical errors. I would disagree with that completely. Yes. There are no errors in the Bible. There are errors in our interpretation of it. Amen. 9% said the Bible was not inspired by God, but tells how the writers understood the ways and principles of God. And 13% described the Bible as just another book of teachings written by people that contain some stories and advice. The study surveyed 3,354 adults from all states and Washington, D.C. That's why I find this incredible, is that these numbers came out. All states and Washington, D.C., and they also included supplemental data from nearly 100 youth ages 15 to 17. Approximately 7 in 10 believe the Bible is essential in helping the nation sustain such values as faith, hope, and love. I hope that you will watch today's sermon after you watch this prophecy update, because you are going to hear about these particular issues in a very unique way. All right? Our research tells us clearly that an individual's relationship with the Bible is the single greatest influence on her or his overall spiritual health. Period. Nothing else comes close. Imagine that in 2021, that number of people saying that. To me, that's incredible. From NCR Online, John Kerry, U.S. climate envoy, meets Pope and speaks at Vatican Conference. John Kerry, Biden's special envoy for climate, met privately with Pope Francis the day after giving a keynote address at a closed-door meeting with the Pontifical Academy for Sciences and the Pontifical Academy for Social Sciences. The video shows Kerry giving Pope Francis his autobiography, Every Day is Extra. The Pope turned around and dropped it into a garbage bin. In an interview later, Kerry said he believed Francis intends to participate in the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, commonly referred to as COP16, in Glasgow in November. So this guy Kerry says that the Pope is going to be in Glasgow in November, and he's going to be a keynote speaker there. In fact, one of the partial video clips released by the Vatican, Kerry can be heard telling his staff, first day, he'll be there with the heads of state. Now, if you haven't read and taken into proper context the horror of Revelation 17, pay attention to what's said here and go read my Revelation 17 commentary, which is coming out day after day for the next 20 or so days, okay? As a matter of fact, I typed the last commentary for Revelation 17 this morning. And today? I think 17:6. So you can go back and read six of them and then follow through day by day for the next few days, and you'll see exactly what's going on and why I've come to this conclusion. Kerry then said, it will be amazing. I'm telling you, it will have a profound impact. In the Vatican News interview, Kerry said Francis' moral authority and teaching on the need to address both climate change and poverty can rally more people to make a greater commitment to helping the environment. Go read my commentaries. From the Gateway Pundit, Rio de Janeiro's Christ the Redeemer. Big thing out there that the whole world sees. What a disgrace. Lit up with a message promoting vaccine equality. The 100-foot statue of Christ is visited by about 2 million people per year. Vaccine Saves, United for Vaccines, was projected onto the statue to encourage Brazilians to get the experimental COVID vaccine. Okay, some news from the Mideast and Africa today from MSN. Turkey, Erdogan wants to deploy anti-Israel international protection force to Gaza. And he's still feeling this way after the war. This was during the war. President Erdogan said the international community should also give a strong and deterrent lesson to Israel, underlining that works on the idea of sending an international protection force to the region in order to protect the Palestinian civilians should also be carried out. Erdogan expressed his belief that Turkey and Russia would display close cooperation on all these issues at the UN. Now, having said that, once again, they were the aggressors. There would be no need for protecting these people if they would not attack Israel. Putin's office made no mention of the proposal in a parallel readout. The rhetoric is consistent with Erdogan's long-term interest in identifying his presidency with the late Ottoman Empire as he conducts a series of geopolitical transactions with Putin in an apparent bid to expand Turkey's role as a power broker in the Mideast and Central Asia. Erdogan pointed out that it was important that the United Nations Security Council intervened in the matter before the crisis further worsened, and that the council should convey determined and clear messages to Israel on halting its attacks, which wouldn't be a problem if they were not consistently attacked with over 4,000 missiles coming into their nation. The readout should be regarded as a political signal more than a practical proposal, according to a former Turkish opposition leader and lawmaker and Erdogan critic. If there was an opportunity to especially bring in Turkish forces into the region, Erdogan would definitely go for it. When there are these crises, both Ankara and Moscow see them as opportunities to increase their respective military footprints at the expense of third parties. But I doubt that Putin would be interested in working with Erdogan here in such an explosive case where Erdogan has his own game. From Zero Hedge, blood on your hands. Erdogan issues worst rebuke to Biden since taking office. Erdogan blasted the Biden administration for standing idly by while the civilian body count piles up in Gaza after 1 week of unrelenting Israeli airstrikes. Well, if Israel didn't have the Iron Dome, there would have been a lot more dead Jews as well. But they just happen to have better technology because they don't spend all of their time bombing their neighbors, okay? And even more than this, Turkey is outraged over new reports that Biden approved a $735 million weapons sale from the U.S. to Israel. "You are writing history with your bloody hands," Erdogan said in remarks addressed to Biden. The stinging rebuke came after a meeting with his cabinet over the continuing Gaza crisis. Turkey has long been a staunch supporter of Palestinian rights, though Erdogan's rule has in recent years seen relations with Israel reach a low point given the hardline Islamic leanings of his Justice and Development Party. Following a meeting with his cabinet, Erdogan issued a rebuke to Biden saying, "Now, unfortunately, you are writing history with your bloody hands with this event in which Gaza is being attacked with seriously disproportionate force, causing the martyrdom of thousands of people. You have forced us to say this." Well, of course, there's disproportionate force. As I said, Israel builds up its economy. It's able to purchase bombs that actually work and so on, and ways of defending themselves. Whereas these people just continuously squander everything they've been given, billions and billions and billions of dollars by the nations of this world, and they've done nothing with it except destroy. From the Federalist, U.S. State Department condemns Turkish president's reprehensible anti-Semitic smears. I was actually surprised to see that the State Department is a bunch of lefties, but they do know that they need to be supporting Israel, and that Israel was not the aggressor in this. I think more than anything, though, they were upset that Biden got attacked, like he didn't deserve it. From Zero Hedge, Iran preps return to oil market as Vienna talks within reach of agreement. U.S. and Iranian diplomats, we just got done talking about Hamas. Hamas is supplied by Iran. We've talked about bombs being shipped into Yemen, okay, smuggled into Yemen, which were caught last week, and on and on and on these things have gone. And yet, we're still talking about this JCPOA as if we are going to make this deal. U.S. and Iranian diplomats, which are still engaged in ongoing indirect negotiations via intermediaries in Vienna, have signaled that a major nuclear agreement is now within reach. And now, Iran is preparing to ramp up global oil sales as talks to lift U.S. sanctions show signs of progress. Following years of Trump-imposed biting sanctions, they admit they were biting, they were working, which especially targeted Iran's oil exports and, in some cases, Iranian tankers. Even being seized, the Islamic Republic is actively prepping to get its global exports flowing once again. State-controlled National Iranian Oil Company has been priming oil fields and customer relationships so it can increase exports if an accord is clinched. They wouldn't be doing this unless they knew it was coming. Under the most optimistic estimates, the country could return to pre-sanctions production of almost 4 million barrels a day in as little as 3 months. It could also tap a flotilla's worth of oil that is hoarded away in storage. However, even with such positive momentum and optimism on both sides, it remains that the Trump admin boxed in Biden. Good job, Trump, in terms of what can and can't be done rapidly. At issue is the minefield of sanctions and punitive actions slapped on over 700 entities and officials. Most notably, this includes 24 financial institutions, at the heart of which is Iran's central bank. This had also been designed to scarf off even willing buyers, given the complex labyrinth of legal hurdles related to shipping, insurance, and other red tape. The Iranians are said to be expectant of an extended, gradual process of undoing sanctions. Trump really, he put his finger on him. I'm so glad we had him as president. Yet hardliners and the Ayatollah himself have warned their patience will soon run out and the talks cannot drag on. Zero Hedge, top EU negotiator, quite sure Iran nuclear deal will be reached next week, which is this week. Can you imagine this? After what's gone on in this world with Iran being the aggressor, the funder of terrorist nations and terrorist entities, and we're dealing with them. As we span the globe, we try to never miss something interesting from Mongolia. So, from Xinhua, Mongolia records 533 new COVID-19 cases, 7 more deaths. Mongolia reported these 533 cases of COVID-19 in the last 24 hours, bringing its national tally to 49,175. The country's health ministry said, meanwhile, 7 more fatalities and 1,065 more recoveries were reported, bringing the death toll to 226 and the total number of recoveries to 41,844, the ministry said in a statement. The Asian country launched a mass COVID-19 vaccination campaign in late February aimed to cover at least 60% of its population of 3.3 million. Now, the reason why I read that, because I said I'm tired of talking about COVID over there in Mongolia, is because somebody sent me in a graph, okay? And it looked a little doctored up, and I think it was, but I went and checked. Most of the graph was true, and so I'm including it on the video, is that they were literally at this for the past year. Until February. They started the vaccination program in late February. And if you look at the graph, take it as you will. I won't say any more. The book of Daniel prophesied that technology would increase in the end times. What's up in this regard? Oh, speaking of tech, I mentioned this last week. I'll mention it again. If we get shut down for some reason, what you need to do is go to the Superior Word website, and we will put on that site what we will be doing and where we will be posting. We're already on YouTube, Rumble, and Sermon Audio. Okay, we live stream on YouTube. If that ever gets cut off for some reason, then we will tell you where we are for that, etc. But I just want you to be apprised of that. Go to the Superior Word website, and you will find out where we are. All right, USA Today. After researchers implanted microchips into his brain, a paralyzed man was able to write with his mind. This is very interesting. I've seen a couple other things we've talked about like this in the past year, but this one he's actually writing with his just his mind, nothing else. A man who lost all movement below the neck after a spinal cord injury in 2007 was finally able to write again. With his mind. Stanford University researchers used AI software and a brain-computer interface to help the man with immobilized limbs to communicate by text. Dr. Jamie Henderson, professor of neurosurgery at Stanford, implanted 2 microchips the size of a baby aspirin. Those taste really good. The St. Joseph's, they should not make them in that flavor, I'll tell you that. About 1 millimeter into the man's brain in 2017. The chips have electrodes that record neurons in the motor cortex, the part of the brain that controls hand movement. When the man imagined he was using his hand to write, now listen, he had this back in 2007. He lost his ability to write. This is now all these years later. And you would think that the connection would be gone. It's not. When the man imagined he was using his hand that hasn't worked since 2007 to write on a notepad, the computer converted his thoughts into text on a computer screen. The man, referred to in the study only as T5, texted at a rate of about 18 words per minute. A person of the same age with full use of their hands can text an average of 23 words per minute. So he's doing very well on a smartphone. His error rate was about 1 mistake every 18 or 19 attempted characters. When researchers used an autocorrect function, it went to 400 mistakes a minute. I'm kidding. It's just, where was I? Yes, error rates plummeted to below 1%. I have a huge problem with autocorrect. It comes out, you can't even read it. So, okay, didn't mean to make you laugh too much, but here we go. When he was asked to copy text and slightly more than 2% when he was asked to write something original. Until now, scientists weren't sure how long a person could retain motor skills without putting them into practice. We had no idea someone who had never moved his hands for 10 years. If you asked him to write, what his brain would do. It shows these fine, dexterous movements still evoke rich patterns of brain activity that we can use. Praise God. It's a dangerous world, including the inevitable plagues of the book of Revelation, which it prophesies of. So let's see how things are developing there. From Newsmax, world's oranges, coffee at risk as Brazil runs out of water. Yeah, Brazil, the world's biggest exporter of coffee, sugar, and orange juice, just had a rainy season that brought hardly any rain. Soils are parched and river levels are low, in the nation's center-south region, a powerhouse of agricultural output. The drought is so severe that farmers are worried they'll run out of the water reserves that help keep crops alive over the next several months, which is the county's dry season. The prospect of withering orange trees and coffee plants is coming at a time when agricultural crops are rallying to multi-year highs, which has fanned fears of food inflation. Coffee and raw sugar contracts on the ICE Futures Exchange in New York have already touched four-year highs. The worst-hit areas received less than half of normal precipitation at a critical time when coffee plants need moisture for the beans to grow. It also is a period when the soil stores water to cope with the dry season. Bad times ahead, because that's a big area of food in this hemisphere. From Reuters, California governor declares drought emergency in 41 counties. Newsom issued an expanded drought emergency proclamation for 41 of the state's 58 counties, most of the state, citing above average temperatures and dry conditions for April and May. From CBC, Ontario will no longer give AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine as first dose due to blood clot risk. Epic Times, Brazilian states suspend AstraZeneca's COVID-19 vaccine for pregnant women after death. Zero Hedge, Sweden records more than 30,000 cases of side effects tied to COVID jabs. The majority of these reactions reported in patients who received the AstraZeneca jab. And from CFP, Fauci admits roughly half of NIH, his employees, half of them have chosen to not get the vaccine. From the New York Post, Indian doctors warn against using cow poop as COVID cure. Yes, they actually had to make this warning. As COVID-19 ravages India, some have taken to rubbing cow feces and urine on their bodies. And you look at the pictures, it's all over their bodies in a way to fight the virus. Doctors are warning against the practice, saying there's no proof it boosts immunity or helps treat COVID. And it's pretty gross. And that's coming from a guy that worked in wastewater for like 25 years.
6-foot separation is no problem.
Yeah, 6-foot separation is no problem with that one. That's a fact. Okay, from CBS. Amid India's COVID-19 surge, dozens of dead bodies found floating in the Ganges River. Now, I'm sure you've heard that. And the reason why I read that to you, because it's been in all of the newspapers I've seen, all of them. Do you know what they do with the bodies in India?
Yes.
They throw them into the Ganges River or they burn them. Those are the two ways. One is to have a pyre. The other is to simply let the person float down the river and be eaten by the... That's why there's so many snapping turtles and crocodiles at the end of the Ganges River. They float down there and they eat the bodies. This is how they dispose of them. So don't listen to articles like that where there's this giant crisis. They make stuff up and they just... They put it out there to get everybody scared about things. Don't listen to that kind of nonsense. If you want to see great, great documentaries on that, just go to YouTube and type in the Snapping Turtles of India, and you can watch them eating bodies all day long. I mean, whatever. So just so you know, I'm not making this up. I got some horrified faces here. Sorry. Okay, from Fox News, Texas reports zero. I know you know this, but I'm just giving them a pat on the back. Texas reports zero COVID deaths. 2 months after Biden slammed Neanderthal thinking. So who are the Neanderthals now? It marked the first time the Lone Star State reported no coronavirus deaths in about 14 months. The state of morality is declining. Here's some news on that. From Zero Hedge, University of California system will no longer consider SAT and ACT scores for admissions. The lowest common denominator, I've said this again and again, they always go to the lowest common denominator. The 9 campuses of the UC system will no longer consider standardized testing scores as part of the admission process beginning in the fall of 2021. The change is a result of a legal settlement of a lawsuit brought by groups that claim that the traditional SAT and ACT tests are racist. Thank you. From the National File, Twitter suspends Spanish politician for saying a man cannot get pregnant because no uterus or ovaries. And what he did is he put a picture of it on his tweet so that he can show you how it happens. And they suspended him, saying, because we disagree with you. Epic Times, France bans, good job, France. Good job. France bans some gender-neutral language in schools, a danger to our country and the French language.
Yep.
Zero Hedge. Train company apologizes for using phrases ladies and gentlemen during an announcement. Yes, a government-run British train company has issued an apology after one of its conductors used the phrase ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls during an announcement, causing a passenger identifying as non-binary to take offense and make a complaint. Yeah. Some other news around the world? Oh, and please, you know what? Something that I was thinking about here. If you do not like tattoos, then don't watch his tattoo videos, okay? I've got a friend, he attends online here, and he's got a site, and it comes up on my TV every day, and whatever he posts, I watch it that day. It's Physical Graffiti Sedona, Arizona. That's all you need to type in, look for it. Physical Graffiti Sedona, Arizona. He does tattoos, he shows, you know, what somebody comes in and what they want and how the process is, or one of his employees, okay? If you don't like tattoos, no big deal. This guy does some great gun videos. He makes stocks for guns and stuff. He also does videos walking through Arizona in places that nobody goes. It's wonderful. He takes his little dog and his wife, I should say his wife and his little dog, and they go, you know, it really is fun to watch those videos. So even if you don't like tattoos, I recommend his channel for other things. The things he makes, you know, somebody came in and wanted a holster for a gun, a handmade holster, and he made it from absolute scratch in this thing. I can't believe the work he put into it. You'll really be blessed by this. Okay. Anyway, what's that? Yeah, the guy that made the Bible cover here. Absolutely. This Bible cover, the one over here, he does marvelous work. And, you know, I'm sitting there watching these videos and I'm thinking, you know, I'll just talk about him for a minute. So there you go. Anyway, here we go. Zero Hedge. This is from the other category. Zero Hedge. 60% of French police and military say they will support Le Pen, Marine Le Pen, the right winger in France, in presidential election. 60% of police and military say they will support populist Marine Le Pen in next year's French presidential election, with the number even higher among active duty police. They're tired of it over there. They've had enough. Zero Hedge. Space Force commander demoted over book claiming neo-Marxist agenda and critical race theory infiltrating military. Now, this is important. I know you've probably read this, but there are people in other parts of the world that watch this update that may not have heard this. And so I want them to be aware of what's going on. And what I'm going to read in this particular article is the subject of what we'll be talking about in the sermon as well. So please watch that sermon. Lieutenant General Stephen Whiting, Space Ops Command Commander, relieved Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Lohmeyer of command of the 11th SWS Buckley Air Force Base, Colorado, due to the loss of trust and confidence in his ability to lead. That's the reason they gave. This decision was based on public comments made by Lieutenant Colonel Lohmeyer in a recent podcast. Lieutenant General Whiting has initiated a command-directed investigation on whether these comments constituted prohibited partisan political activity. Lohmeyer self-published Irresistible Revolution, Marxism's Goal of Conquest, and The Unmaking of the American Military this week. The book, according to the description, explores the impact of a neo-Marxist agenda and the manner in which the BLM, anti-racism, postmodernism, and political correctness affect the national security of the United States. Lohmeyer said that he had informed his superiors, public affairs staff, and lawyers for the military about the book prior to publication, but it was not subject to pre-publication review. DOD Directive 1344.10 prohibits active duty personnel from engaging in partisan political activity. So they're using that as a hammer against him when it is not, okay, or it should not be. Service members are, however, permitted to express their personal opinions on political candidates and issues in their personal capacity and when not in uniform. Lohmeyer denied intending to participate in partisan politics. My intent never has been to engage in partisan politics. I have written a book about a particular political ideology, Marxism, in the hope that our DOD might return to being politically nonpartisan in the future, as it has honorably done throughout history. The demotion comes after Lohmeyer criticized Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's diversity and inclusion agenda. I don't demonize the man, but I want to make it clear to both him and every service member this agenda It will divide us. It will not unify us, he said, after Austin imposed a 60-day force-wide extremism stand-down to determine how to rid the military of extremism following the January 6th Capitol riot. Lohmeyer says he was asked to give his troops extremism training and was given a 70-page booklet of talking points. The booklet reportedly began with an overview of the Capitol riot and included examples of white nationalists that have been caught at some point in the last decade and punished for it and kicked out of the military. So what's the problem? If they've been kicked out of the military, then what's the problem? Or a radical Islamic terrorist, A. There's been how many in the military in the past 10 years? The diversity, inclusion, and equity industry and the trainings we are receiving in the military is rooted in critical race theory, which is rooted in Marxism, said Lohmeyer, who also knocked the DOD for saying that the military has too many white pilots. The DOD says we have too many white pilots during a pilot shortage, citing a diversity initiative in which service members read, "So you want to talk about race," by Ijeoma Ulo, I can't even pronounce the guy's name, in which the U.S. is referred to as a white supremacist nation. Lohmeyer told the Information Operation podcast that the young service members are inundated with a hyper-politicized work environment where diversity and inclusion initiatives are being pushed constantly. Lohmeyer added that conservatives in the military who are willing to voice their opinions are painted as extremists. What you see happening in the U.S. military at the moment is that if you're a conservative, then you're lumped into a group of people who are labeled extremists. If you're willing to voice your views and if you're aligned with the left, then it's okay to be an activist online because no one's going to hold you accountable. Of note, Lohmeyer's book is currently the number one seller in Amazon's military policy as well as communism and socialism sections. And they don't like that. But he did nothing wrong and he's being punished for it. And the congressmen, a couple of Republican congressmen, have now got an IG investigation going against the people that are doing this to this fine officer. Zero Hedge. New video reveals Capitol Police officer. Did anybody see this video on Rumble? Can't be on YouTube, but it can be on Rumble. Police officer giving protesters permission to enter the building. Remember the guy with the horns? He's been in lockdown. They have not let him out at all since he was arrested. They invited him in to his face. A newly obtained video shows U.S. Capitol Police officers speaking with several January 6 protesters, including Jacob Chansley, the so-called Q shaman, inside the Capitol that afternoon. One officer identified in the video and confirmed by charging documents as Officer Keith Robichaud appears to tell Chansley's group, doesn't appear, he does, that you won't stop them from entering the building. We're not against. You need to show us no attacking, no assault. Remain calm, Robichaud warns. Chansley and another protester instruct the crowd to act peacefully. This has to be peaceful, Chansley yelled. We have the right to peaceably assemble. The video directly contradicts what government prosecutors allege in a complaint filed January 8th against Chansley. Robichaud and other officers calmed the protesters somewhat. This is what the government said. Calmed the protesters somewhat and directed them to leave the area from the same way they had entered. Chansley approached Officer Robichaud and screamed, among other things, that this was their house and that they were there to take the Capitol and to get congressional leaders. And none of that happened. None of it. Come in. This is the people's house. You have to act peaceably. Chansley turned around and said, everybody, we have to be peaceable. We are being allowed entrance. And he's been in solitary confinement for 4 months now. Chansley later is seen entering the Senate chambers with a police officer behind him, escorting him. He led several protesters in prayer and sat in Vice President Pence's chair. Chansley is not charged with assaulting an officer. He faces several counts for trespassing and disorderly conduct. How can you trespass if you've been invited into an area? He's been incarcerated since January, so it's been a little more than 4 months, denied bail awaiting a trial. He has no criminal record. American Greatness obtained the video from RMG News. The 44-second clip is reportedly part of a much longer video that has yet to be released. Good job. Weasel Zippers, U.S. Army issues statement on climate change as national security threat. This is our army that is saying that whites are a threat in the military. and that climate change is a threat. Rasmussen, liberal media viewers are misinformed about crime in America. No.
Shocking.
Yeah, the poll, I'm not going to read you the poll, but the whole poll basically says they interview these people that watch this, these people that watch that, and the people that watch the MSN had no idea of the low numbers of blacks that have been killed by police, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
Zero Hedge, government scientific advisors admit using totalitarian fear tactics to control people during pandemic, says a report. This is in the UK. Scientists in the UK working as advisors for the government have expressed regret for using what they now admit to be unethical and totalitarian methods of instilling fear in the population in order to control behavior during the pandemic, according to a report. The report quotes a briefing from March 2020 as the first lockdown was decreed that stated the government should drastically increase the perceived level of personal threat that the virus poses because a substantial number of people still do not feel sufficiently personally threatened. One scientist with the SPIB admits that in March 2020, the government was very worried about compliance and they thought people wouldn't want to be locked down. No kidding. There were discussions about fear being needed to encourage compliance and decisions were made about how to ramp up the fear. The unnamed scientist adds that the way we have used fear is dystopian. The scientists further confessed that the use of fear has definitely been ethically questionable. It's been like a weird experiment. Ultimately, it backfired because people became too scared. Another scientist warned that we have to be very careful about the authoritarianism that is creeping in, adding people use the pandemic to grab power and drive through things that wouldn't happen otherwise. Yet another scientist on the subcommittee stated that they have been stunned by the weaponization of behavioral psychology over the past year and warned that psychologists didn't seem to notice when it stopped being altruistic and became manipulative. Sad state of the world, I'm telling you. I got a question for you. Who said it? We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown, but we have forgotten God. Who said it?
Lincoln.
You get a Maserati. Who said, somebody behind you first? Okay, they're pointing at each other. You both get to ride around in a Maserati this afternoon. Abraham Lincoln. Got something here for you from Les. When things don't go according to plan, it may be that the stuff's hit the fan. In the here and the now, folks are using the cow, trusting bovine to heal fellow man. Okay, we have a bit of irony here for you today, and please be sure to share this video. Okay, Mail Online. Good for her. Indian COVID victim 76 wakes up on her funeral pyre moments before she is due to be cremated because the family thought she was dead. Yeah, such is the world we live in. So from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your CG report for the week.